Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, October 2nd, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 9, the fifth paragraph that begins with, "I was aghast." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Martha M., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Reggie O. will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Julie E. B., Dion R., and Jordan L. The share ID for Thursday, October 1st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 15,465. That's 15465. And for this morning's Friday, October 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, share ID is 15,469, 15469. Our newcomer greeter for today is Wendy B., and Betsy H. will be making our announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Martha M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I am a very grateful recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. I apologize. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I'm very appreciative of the opportunity to do service. Have a great morning.
Thank you, Martha M. Reggie O., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
I would. Thank you, Kathleen. My name is Reggie O. I'm in the greater Los Angeles area, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Great to be of service this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Reggio. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. If someone could *1 to mute your phone, please. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 9, the 5th paragraph that begins with "I was aghast." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And good morning, Julie E.B. Would you get us started, please?
Yeah, hi. This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Oh, my brain. I was aghast. So that was it. Last summer, an alcoholic crackpot. Now I suspected a little cracked about religion. He had that starry-eyed look. Yes, the old boy was on fire, all right, but bless his heart. Let him rant. Besides, my gin would last longer than his preaching. As I said, Julie E.B., grateful today. What I get out of this is that what Bill's thinking about at this point is just the fact that he will not, that this person is going to wreck his fun. And I think he shows that kind of desperate cynicism that is a part of my disease. It's part of my disease voice, and it was part of the worst part of my disease. Nothing's going to help anyway. Why would I even think about it? Why would I even worry about it? I can look at the world. What does we agnostics say? We have our prejudices and all of our different defenses that are a part of this disease. He was on fire, but bless his heart, I can outlast him. And that's how I felt about almost everything in my life, that I could outlast it. I'll let him go on and on and on. It really didn't have anything to do with me. And that can still be a part of my disease thinking. Let all these things go on outside, and I can just attach and just live in a different reality. But one thing I found in this book, especially in the section about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, is that there just needs to be today just one Julie. That the more that I'm at a distance, the more that I'm disengaged, the more that I'm just letting things go by, not in the sense of take it easy that the 11th step teaches us, but letting things go by and not really caring or just judging, condemning the other person. I'm in disease thinking. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. Okay, we are on page 9, the fifth paragraph that begins with, I was aghast. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Christina J.
Christina J.
Johan N.
Leah J.
Johan. Leah, was that Leah J?
Yes.
Okay.
Paula D.
Paula D.
Laura Lou B.
Laura Lou B.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, let's stop there. That's a great lineup, you guys. Okay, I have Christina J. I have Johan. I don't remember the first initial of your last name, Johan, so you can give that to us when you come up. Leah J., Paula D., Laura Lou B., and Jordan L. So go ahead, please, Christina J.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service. I was aghast, and I wasn't aghast. I was astonished and shocked when I came into Vision. And Vision was and is my Ebby, all the people in it, the messages, the big book, Bill, the whole thing is my Ebby. I could hear the starry-eyed look. I could hear the fresh-skinned and glowing people. I could hear recovery, and I was shocked. I had hope for the first time in a very long time. You guys were on fire, and I wanted that sunlight of the Spirit. And so what's the difference between when I came in February 04 and got working like my back end was on fire to now and in between when I had all kinds of relapses and couldn't get that sunlight of the Spirit, even though I've always been a spiritual religious person, always thought I had a close connection to God. Yesterday and the day before, well, actually the day before yesterday, a girl brought in a beautiful Tupperware container full of cupcakes. Beautiful. I wanted the Tupperware container. The miracle, the wholesale miracle that I experienced was I didn't think once about it. And looking back, I didn't think about having a cupcake. She brought them into my office and put them on my office cabinet to hide them from the guys in the other room because it was a birthday thing. We weren't able to do the birthday, so she left them in my cabinet. We ended up putting them in my drawer. Yesterday morning, she brought in chocolate frosting and sprinkles and sat them there, and I looked at them, and we put them in my drawer. I didn't think once. That is a miracle. About 2 months, 2.5 months ago, there were donuts in that office, and I flirted with those donuts. 2.5 months ago, I found my recovery, which I hope is my last bottom. Did I eat them? I flirted with them. I smelled them. I cried, and I went outside and made a 10-step call. That is working the program. That is going to any length. And what is the difference? What is the difference today? It's a surrender to a God. It's a surrender to using what this book tells me I must do in order to stay sane, in order to stay neutral every day. Am I willing to go to that length? Yes, because I hit the bottom so many times. My life was passing by left and right. My God used my career to show me that I must surrender my career, the one thing that was the most important thing in my life that I controlled for 50-some years that wasn't working. I pushed and shoved, tried to duck down every door there was. Finally, I had to give up my hands and say, God, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't have any more money to put into this thing. It's my life. It's what I've dreamed of all my life, and you're taking it from me? No, he wasn't taking it from me. He was using it to show me to surrender to him and to let him run it. Let him be in the driver's seat. Sure, I've got some talents. I've got this and that, but I am in the back of the wagon. He drives it to where he wants me to take these gifts of mine. This is the difference. Every day, I don't worry about politics or whatever's going on in the world. God has it. God has it all. And I don't have to worry about it anymore. I can surrender and say, you're working. I know you're working. You're using all these things that are happening in the world and in my life to bring me to my knees. I surrender. The white flag is up. And so my gin, it's gone. And as long as I work this program daily, God's going to bless me with his grace, which gets bigger and bigger every day that I stay close to him. Thank you, guys. I love you. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And Joan, you're up next, followed by Leah J. And what's the first initial of your last name, Joan?
Hi, this is Joan N. and like in Nancy.
Thank you. Go ahead, Johan.
Thank you. And I'm calling in from Falun in Sweden, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Recovered, not cured, today and one day at a time. A lovely paragraph. This just reminds me of my meeting my first sponsor. And I was aghast when I met him. I mean, I was scared and desperate. And I saw this guy full of confidence, you know, shining with recovery. And I thought that he was a bit nuts, you know. But he had something that I wanted, and I started working the steps, and that really was the beginning of an amazing ride. I'm so grateful for this program, and I'm so grateful for this meeting as a vision. This has really been the road to recovery for me. I'm grateful for sponsorship and that I get to live every day, one day at a time, in step 10, 11, and 12. I get to work with people all over the world, which is an amazing grace. I talked to people today from South Africa, US, Sweden, Ireland, UK. I mean, it's just amazing. OA all over the world. It's amazing. And there is a solution, and that's the great news. I worked through the steps really fast, and I got a spiritual experience, and now I've been abstinent 16 months, and the obsession was lifted from me. And it is, I continue working in the steps, working in step 10, 11, and 12. But thanks to this program, thanks to Big Book sponsorship, these meetings and everything, I really got my sanity back. Or I don't know if I ever had sanity around food. So, but today I have sanity around food, which is amazing. And so thank you so much, and thank you for the service. And I'll stop there. I'll pause. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan N. Okay, Leah J, you're up next, followed by Paula D.
Hi, good morning.
Leah, you just cut out. Okay, press star one to unmute, Leah.
Hi, do you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you, Kathleen. Good morning. My name is Leah J. I'm really grateful to be on the line this morning and to take this opportunity to share so that I can identify it and say that I belong here. I think the sentence that got to me most was the last. Besides, my gin would last longer than his preaching. I think with God's help and the help of some people in this program, that's really what I'm looking for at this point. Something that will last longer than gin, something that will last longer than the effect of food or like acting out. But on the other hand, as far as I understand, getting what this program can offer, I only can get that if I am committed on a daily basis to working the steps and keeping up my motivation around being connected to this program and to my higher power. I really identified with what somebody said earlier about this kind of desperate cynicism over here. Like, let him rant. I'll just have my gin. But for me today, I'm realizing how it's really not being enough. Gin is really not enough. I think that's what I have this morning. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Leah J. And Paula D., it is your turn, followed by Laura Lou B. Go ahead, Paula. Star one to unmute, Paula. Okay, we're going to move on to Laura Lou B. then. You there, Laura Lou?
This is Laura Lou B. Did you want me to share?
Yes, thanks, Laura Lou. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. Grateful to be on this phone call today and for the shares so far. What I hear when I hear him talking about sitting at the table and thinking, oh, well, Abby's not going to bring the party tonight, but I'm having my own party, so who cares about Abby? I just relate to that idea. But I think about how many OA meetings I went to and somebody, the way someone would share or their tone of voice, or maybe they brought up their own particular faith, and I would bristle and I would shut down. And, you know, I knew everything. It wasn't until I came to Vision and started listening every day and got a sponsor who told me I needed to listen every day that I began to hear a message of hope, because I had already thought, I tried OA, I tried diet programs, I had a shelf full of books, and I'd already sort of diagnosed myself, you know, beyond hope. But I heard you all on this line say you were recovered. And I heard you say that you gave up foods that made you weep, and you gave them up anyway. And I finally, by the grace of a higher power, did that, put away all of the foods that I needed to weep over. And now today, I haven't had a single thought, oh, I wish I still had that in my life, because that was chaos and loneliness. And I have 141 strung together days of abstinence, which is a miracle. And I have a sponsor, and I'm doing step work still, getting close to my 12th step, hopefully soon, and just so grateful to have stayed and heard the message, even when I started out feeling like I didn't need it, you guys, any of it. So thanks. Glad to need you. Glad to be here.
Thank you, Laura Lou B. And Paula, do we have you back yet?
Yes, you do. Thank you, Kathleen. I am here.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Paula. Thanks.
Thank you for your service. I am Paula D., recovering in the state of Florida. You know, as I look here, you could see his arrogance, as always. He didn't care about this man. See, alcoholism takes all caring away outside of for self. But what he cared about was finding out. He was curious, no more than that. And it says that in a few lines before. But that part, I was aghast. Ha! That was it. Why? Because he knew the path. Why would he think Ebby's was different? He was a little cracked. He had that starry-eyed look, I imagine, Ebby had, that Bill had it often. Yet the old boy was on fire, all right. This part, bless his heart, let him rant. How often Bill ranted. Beside my gin would last longer than his preaching. The arrogance of the man and the pride. I just, as I looked at that, I could look at myself in arrogance and pride. Oh, I know better. That's not going to work. It does work. It does work. And Bill would find, would eventually find that out, as we all do, hopefully. And with that, I do pass.
Thank you, Paula D. Okay, and just a reminder before I take you, Jordan L., a reminder to everyone that we are on page 9, the fifth paragraph that begins with, I was aghast, and I'll be taking some more names after Jordan. So go ahead, please, Jordan L., good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be on the line and absent this morning with you all. I love this part of the book, only because, like, it's amusing, right? And not in a mean way, not in a mean way or anything like that. I was actually reading this thing the other day, and it was talking about amusement being sort of God's medicine, especially amusement with ourselves, right? The ability to laugh at ourselves. But anyway, I'm so amused when I read this part of the book because, I can close my eyes and I can picture it. And, like, Bill's wasted, right? And he's been drinking for who knows how long, months. And he's absolutely wasted. And here's his buddy, Eddie, that comes to the door. And here's his buddy, Eddie, that comes to the door and is going to pass along religion to him. and comes in and sits down. And Bill's sort of assessing the situation with his, with his very drunk mind, little cracked, starry-eyed, on fire, bless his heart, and I can just see it, you know? I can see this interaction happening. And it's from this interaction that we get the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, what has been said to be, like, one of the most moving sort of actions or things to happen to spiritual life in centuries, you know? it's quite a thing. It's quite a thing to sort of, like, take all of that in. and I do, there's this tone of cynicism in Bill's voice, but I'm glad that he has it because I think back to when it was that I walked in here and I was finally desperate enough to sit down and really listen. And I'm so glad that the folks that are absent today that we can talk about it without a sense of holier than thou, because it's so important that a newcomer can come in here and relate to us to a certain extent, even if our lives have been transformed, you know? So anyway, thanks so much for letting me share. That's all I got, Kathleen.
Thank you, Jordan. Now, okay, we're on page 9, the fifth paragraph that begins with, I was aghast. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Robin P.
Was that Robin P?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Robin.
Sherry H. M.
Sherry H. M. Anyone else? Okay.
Stephen G.
With Stephen G. Great.
Okay, well, let's start with, we've got Robin P., Sherry H.M., and Stephen G., and we'll take some more names after those three. So go ahead, please, Robin P.
Thanks, Kathleen. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Tulum, Mexico. And I just really, it's so great to just see how far I've come by God's grace and mercy. You know, I came into the room and saw God on the walls and literally left and thought, oh, no. And I was so desperate for help. And just, I was a devout atheist. I'd been raised that way by my dad. And I thought they substituted one addiction for another. And somebody said to me, you know, just any power that's greater than your disease, than worshiping the food, than making that your God, if you can come up with any other, be open to any other power that you would let be more powerful than you let the food be. And so I just looked at nature at first, and I would just stay honest, open, and willing, and I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety that led me to the Lord, and that happened a long time ago, and I'm very grateful, and it's been a process still, and, you know, that arrogance of thinking, I know better, that Bill's kind of, you know, let him rant, you know, I've got my drug of choice here, I can last longer with my drug than he can with his ranting, and, you know, which is a lie, because that's the illusion and the disease. It won't last longer, and it's Russian roulette, and the pain will come where he'll run out again, and he'll be hung over again, just like I was with the food, and having to get more. And the great news about, you know, being able to turn to God and my fellows is that I don't run out, and I don't have a hangover, and I don't have consequences for connecting with my higher power and being of service. It's the opposite of that. You know, we're in a big transition. We just moved from the U.S., and we're just taking it one day at a time and just really relying on God and our fellows for this change, and not relying on ourselves and our egos. And it's really a faith walk, and that's how we all get to do it. And I'm so grateful for all of you and to God. I bless everybody with a very abstinent, blessed day. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin P. Okay, good morning, Sherry H.M. You are up, followed by Stephen G.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, from Washington State. Oh, my goodness. It reminds me of, you know, I thought I knew God, and that, you know, God and I were good, but why couldn't God do this food thing for me? It was always so confusing, because where would I go to during food, or during, you know, problems, any time really, into the arms of my refrigerator? And I remember just gorging myself with sugary stuff, and yet, you know, there was no bottom. I could never, ever get enough. So it was really about giving up that illusion of control. I had thought that I could, you know, control with diets, control with this diet, that diet, one more thing, a new eating plan, whatever. But, you know, control is such an illusion, and I had to give up control, give up power to someone who is all-powerful. And I'm so grateful to God for this. And that I have been, by his help and all of you wonderful people, for 6 years abstinent, and he's taken away the obsession. And I'm just so very grateful. And thank you all for your service. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. And Stephen G., you're up next, and we'll be able to take some more names after Stephen. So go ahead, please, Stephen.
Hi, I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Thank you for your service. I'm going to share just very briefly. I'm in a coffee shop with a lot of background noise, but I, you know, certainly when I came into OA, I had this experience of being a gas and suspecting that the people around me were a little cracked. And that was my own prejudice about religion or spirituality based on my experience prior to that. And I kept coming back, and the reason I kept coming back, I left and I came back, I left and I came back, is because the power of the disease was such that with each passing day, I had fewer and fewer options. And that's basically what's happening here with Bill Wilson. He's so prejudiced about what a religious process to overcome alcoholism is going to be like that he has all these preconceived ideas. And I had that. However, I became more and more desperate, just like Bill Wilson, and began to accept things that I couldn't previously have accepted. And one of the things I like about vision is vision is very structured in following the big book guide and the big book instructions for working the steps. So when he talks about being crackpot, you know, I found that outside of vision, the path towards working the steps can get a little bit wishy-washy, and people can sort of make up how they're going to do it as they go. The great thing about vision is it doesn't talk about religion, it's about spirituality, and it follows very, very specific actions that are laid out. So people can't really get crackpot about how to work this program. Here's how to work it, and when you do it, it works. And that's what Bill Wilson eventually comes to the conclusion, that's his only solution. And when he does that, he gets recovery and is able to overcome these prejudices because it works. And it's the same thing that happened to me, and I'm very grateful for that. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Stephen G. And we're on page 9, the fifth paragraph. I was aghast. And who else would like to share on this paragraph who has not shared in the last 3 days?
Ken W.
Laura
H.
R. I heard Laura R. And who else?
Ken W. H.
Ken W. H. Melanie C. A couple more. Melanie C. Anyone else? Okay, I have Laura R., Ken W.H., Melanie C. Was there someone else there? Okay, go ahead, please, Laura L., Laura R.
Cheryl,
good morning.
M.
Was that, what was your name, Sherry what? Okay, I didn't get that. Go ahead, please, Laura. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're that's good. Good morning. This is Laura, our grateful recover compulsive overeater in Colorado. Glad to be on the line this morning. Wow, I don't know why this is popping up for me today, but I was just thinking how many people probably are aghast at how I am with my food program and thinking that I'm kind of cracked. But, you know, it's funny, and I remember the first time I – you know, came in with my scale to a family function, and my sister-in-law looked at me and said, is this how it's always going to be? Are you never going to be able to eat with us again? And I was like, oh, I don't know. When I talked to my husband, he's like, babe, the longer you do this, the more they'll realize this is just a way of your life. Like, I've been on so many diets that switch from this diet to that diet, this diet to that diet. No one could really take me seriously, you know? And so when I come in with my scale and say that this is the way I'm going to, you know, live my life for the rest of my life, they're probably just going like, oh, just another fad with her. But what's so awesome is that it has been the case. I've carried my scale with me everywhere I've been the last 2 years. And by the way, my scale is not my God. What's so beautiful about it is it just keeps me, it's black and white. You know, I put my food on the scale. It's not 1 point over or under. I never have to question if it's black or white, if I ever have to, if I'm not abstinent or not. I follow my food plan, period. And the beautiful part about it is, like, from, you know, I think it was in 2 months that I got abstinent. I had my Tupperware and a black tie event. Came in with my Tupperware. I was wearing a long red gown with my husband, black tie, and had my Tupperware and my clutch, you know, in one hand and the Tupperware in the other. And I just didn't care because my abstinence meant that much to me. I just was so desperate, and grabbed an empty plate and put my food on my, you know, from the Tupperware to the plate and ate with the rest of the people. But I had my abstinent meal, and people have seen me over the course of 2 years, you know, in restaurants and, you know, and that family functions, I'm out a lot. And I don't care. I go to the same restaurants all the time. They see me. And what's so cool is that I've had people over the years ask me, what are you doing? You know, I had a waitress, not a waitress, the manager of a restaurant asked me what I'm doing. And about 2 months ago, She said, can I talk to you about your food program? It was me and another fellow who were in the program, and we had our scales out. And she said, you know, not only do you guys look great, but honestly, I want what you have. And it's that energy that's coming off of you. And so I've met with her, and I don't know, you know, I gave her some numbers, and I don't know if she'll follow through, and that's okay. But the point is that I'm consistent. And that is such a gift. I'm meeting with someone on Monday who's interested in doing the program. I don't know what that'll entail. It doesn't matter. It's just I'm doing the program. And it's kind of like, even though they don't realize, but I am the only big book that they are seeing in this moment. And hopefully one person or two will come into our program. That's great. If not, God willing, I'll stay. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura R. Ken W.H., you're up next, followed by Melanie C. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Good to be here today. Traveling on the way to the beach from Kenwood Henderson, recovering compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina, headed down to the beach today. And interesting that this is the first time I've ever gone to the beach fully abstinent, ever. The COVID has kept me away from the beach all year until now. And it's a great blessing. I'll come out on 3 months here soon. What I'm aware of is I ran out of gin a long, long time ago. But I kept thinking I could outrun the sugar and all that went with that. And the sugar and the behaviors that go with it. I just thought I could outrun this thing, but it finally caught up to me. I think the best way to put it is that God caught up to me, or I slowed down enough, or whatever. And Ebby said earlier, I got religion. And you know, it's interesting that we don't have a clue what that religion is just from that statement. I have no idea. We know from historically what his background was at this point, or at least the beginnings of his background, but no idea what his religion was, and it didn't matter. The fact is that whatever was going on in him was enough to just spark his life, put him on fire, and Bill could see it. And something changed in Bill in that moment, even though I could hear his resistance. Besides my sugar will outlast his preaching, it wasn't the case. He couldn't drink enough to not hear this message from his God. I heard that message. Interestingly, yesterday someone tried to give me some more gin, so to speak. They brought two of the most awesome, decadent-looking pieces of food you could want, and handed it to me. And immediately, it was, where can we take it? Who can we give it to? So we passed it along to new neighbors. But it was just other people still want me to eat sugar and to eat certain foods. I can't do that anymore. That's done. I've run out of sugar. I've run out of food behaviors that still haunt me. I'm working on it and growing and have a sponsor in a vision, and it's making all the difference in the world. Good to be here today, and thank you for letting me share. I'm going to go get some sand from the beach to make the mortar for my foundation. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ken W.H. And Melanie C., go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling in from Oregon. I have a very short paragraph here, and I identify completely. I love that word, aghast. I'm a little bit over-dramatic oftentimes, and those kinds of words just really appeal to me very much so. As I see this, I'm looking at it from Bill's point of view and how I identify in, and Bill had entirely different plans. And when that was thwarted, when Ebby came with this starry-eyed look, which is kind of an idealistic, naive, romantic fantasy kind of look in his eye, according to Bill, he had to start breaking him down. Because he's sitting there drunk. I'm sitting here drunk on food, and I had these plans of being able to eat with my eating buddy, gorge away like the filthy pig that I am at my particular weight, and eat in the way that I had been able to with a friend that I always that understood me and ate the same way I did without any judgment or any of that kind of stuff. And when that didn't happen and something else was in its place, whoa, I'm slipping all over the place because I don't know what's happening here. And so I'm going to have to pull this guy apart. He's got that starry-eyed look. He's got religion. And then I got the thought, you know what? I can pretend like I'm a good friend here and that I didn't have anything else planned except for to listen to this fella. Because I have enough food stashed around this house to outlast anything that this guy has to say that I don't believe anyway, quite frankly. But I'm interested. And so I'm going to start musing about that. I'm going to muse about what I'm going to have in a minute. I'm going to muse about getting to it. I'm going to be kind of looking at my watch, seeing how much more time is going to happen there. And I'm not going to hear a word he has to say. And thank God Bill did. Apparently he heard some sort of things that got through. That enabled him to be able to start a process by which this was going to be soon to be his last debacle. And I am so thrilled about that particular idea in this particular piece because that's what happened to me. I don't know who and what my Ebby was. I believe that it was a combination of several things that came into my life. The first person that ever introduced me to Overeaters Anonymous was my mother. I had no idea what it was. She was going. She was always my food-eating buddy anyway. And so I just tagged along, and I had no idea what was happening. But somewhere along the line in 1989, she planted a seed. And I didn't get sober for 17-plus more years in these rooms, succumbing to the desire again over and over and over again until somebody taught me what entire absence was, what it was that were the key ingredients of what I was eating. I could get clear enough in my head, which is the twisted thinking that you're seeing here in this particular paragraph with Bill, so that I was able to be awakened and available for a 12-step program to attack the mind, the twisted thinking, the threat, the fear, and the remorse. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Okay, we're on page 9, the fifth paragraph. We have time for one more share. Who would like to share on that paragraph?
Sherry KB.
Go ahead, Sherry KB. Thank you.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for your service this morning and Team Friday, and welcome newcomers and everybody on the line. You know, I think of when I read this paragraph, I think of the situation with a really good friend of mine. She was my bench buddy, and then she became my, my recovery buddy, too. And I'll never forget, we were in Denali. It was called the end of the road, and that was like the longest tour I'd ever been on in my life for a day. It started really early in the morning, it ended like really late at night. And I watched her the entire time where everybody else was gorging themselves and eating and doing all this stuff, and she didn't. She didn't do it at all. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me, really? Like, aren't you going to binge with me? Aren't we going to do this together? And I just watched her, and I was shocked. I really was. And, we're on this cruise as well, and, you know, I was telling her how I was going to eat at this place, would she come with me, even though she's eating the way she was. And I watched her the entire trip. We were on this, pretty long trip. And I watched her the whole time. And it blew my mind. And, did I think of her, consider her when I was in my food? No, I didn't. Not at all. But I figured she'd break down eventually and, eat the way I was. And she didn't. And she was such an Ebby and such a gift. And, she's a close friend, and I really saw her, and it was actually so wonderful to see. And then fast forward, here we're both on another trip together. We're both abstinent. We're both doing the deal. And, people were asking us, God, we never see you guys eat anything. I mean, like, as far as all this other junk on the trip, and how come? And people were asking, and somebody mentioned earlier about bringing their food or, weighing and measuring or whatnot. And, the clarity and the alignment to me with my higher power. I mean, I was so, when I'm face down in my disease, I don't think of other people and consider other people. I mean, like, because I can remember thinking, you know, when I was in my disease, that she would go with me and we would go binge on some desserts and stuff. And she didn't, you know, she was very kind. She said, you know, if you want to, Sherry, go ahead. But, you know, and fast forward, you know, that's what I do with people too, because it's really based on attraction rather than promotion. It really is about, you know, for me, I'd prefer the clarity and aligning my will with my higher power's will and being of service by just being based on attraction rather than promotion, rather than trying to shove this down somebody's throat. You know, I'd rather walk the walk. And I thank God for God. And I pass. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you, Sherry KB. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. A special thanks to our Team Friday, Martha M., Reggie O., Julie E.B., Dion R., Jordan L., Wendy B., and Betsy H. Thank you for your service to make this meeting work and go so smoothly. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Dion R., would you please read a vision for you?
Hey,
there you are.
Go ahead, thanks. Okay, how you doing? All right, guys. 164, yes. We got a vision for y'all. All right, excuse me. Vanity glass. Not as young as I was, and I got it up for a while. All right, here we go. All right. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only alone. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if our own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to yourself. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then, and I pass.